I talked too soon. I pointed and then I started talking too quickly. That's on me. That was not on Ian. That it is hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Also, again, you can check us out on Facebook and X, facebook.com, x.com. Go to the Bow Falls Radio pages of each and you'll be able to see us. And hi. Waving at the camera.
Hello.
But it's great to be with you again here on this Friday morning. One more hour to go. Coming up, we will have another opportunity for you to win an overnight package to the Chula Vista Resort in the Wisconsin Dells, including a one-night stay in a vacation villa studio, water park passes for four, and a dining voucher for $25 as well. So, again, really good prize package. We're doing that every Friday. Until the end of May. We started last Friday. We're doing it again this Friday, the final Friday of April, and then every Friday in the month of May as well. So, again, sometime in this hour, you'll have a chance to win again an overnight package to the Chula Vista Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. Also coming up in about 12 minutes or so, we'll be joined by Paul Micklig to have our weekly Wisconsin sports segment as well. Busy time in sports, so trying to loosen things up here on a Friday, get you ready for the weekend. Also, again, say hello to our engineer and in-studio producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Morning, Chad.
What's on the itinerary for this wet weekend?
Well, probably nothing too exciting.
Gonna stay dry, right?
Yep. Probably stay inside. I had to catch up on some shows I missed the last couple.
Mr. Disney Plus weeks. Over there, right?
Well, not just Disney Plus. I also have to catch up on The Mass Singer and the Thursday night shows on CBS as well. My family and I are big fans of the Thursday night shows.
There you go. So, all right, that sounds like a good weekend. And then take a deep breath before getting back into the deep end of rehearsals, right?
Oh, yeah, we probably won't get into like the deep end of rehearsals until probably the middle.
Well, only about a month to go, a little bit more than a month until you open up.
That's true.
So, yeah.
Maybe we should get started next week.
Very, very good. So, fantastic. So, that's Ian Welsh again. He joins us every morning as well here on Bow Falls Radio. I wanted to touch a little bit on a little bit, because on Fridays we try to be a little looser, but there were yesterday morning in the first segment, we talked to Up North News host Pat Kreitlow, and basically I asked him about this Supreme Court hearing that was going on involving Donald Trump and basically the contours of presidential power. And he talked about how the previous court had basically laughed Trump and his lawyers out and that he expected that to be the same. Unfortunately, yesterday, the United States Supreme Court is taking this quite seriously, and I don't say seriously in a good way. The idea that they're going to allow a president, namely Donald Trump, to basically do anything. Because Donald Trump thinks that there should be total immunity for alleged acts in the White House. And the court has actually given him the time of day on this. And I have to say, I am exceptionally disturbed about this. And one thing that I wanted to also mention here, do you recall when Donald Trump was impeached, not just once, but twice. And Trump's lawyers during the impeachment trial used the exact reverse argument that they are now in the Supreme Court. During the impeachment trial in the Senate, they said he shouldn't be impeached because he was subject to criminal prosecution if his actions warranted it. Now in the Supreme Court, he said, he should not be subject to criminal prosecution for his actions, that there's an immunity in the White House on everything. Samuel Alito has to be one of the most disgraceful Supreme Court justices that this country has ever seen. I'm not going to go on and say he's the worst, because there were some back in the 19th century that were not great, to say the least. But in modern times, Alito is such a hack for Republicans. A hack. He just literally tries to grasp at anything to give guys like Trump what they're wanting. And the idea that a president is going to become a king is so against what we've had in this country for more than 230 years since the Constitution was put into place. But it was chilling hearing some of the discussions yesterday. Basically, that the members of the Supreme Court would be put in a position to ask a hypothetical that could a president assassinate his rival with no impunity? That you're even asking this question, because Sonia Sotomayor and Alito both touched on that, that in Trump's battle for absolute immunity from charges over what he claims were official acts, could a commander-in-chief order SEAL Team 6 to assassinate a political rival and not face prosecution? And the lawyer for Donald Trump, when asked about this, said, it would depend on the hypothetical. We could see that could well be an official act. Unbelievable. And then Sotomayor actually pressed on that point, said, immunity says even if you did it for personal gain, we won't hold you responsible. I mean, this is unbelievable. And when you look at where the Supreme Court has gone in the past 40-plus years, back in the 1970s during Watergate, Richard Nixon went back to the Supreme Court over and over again looking for ways not to turn over the tapes. And the Supreme Court said, no, we're not. And the Supreme Court unanimously said, no, we're not standing with you, Nixon, on this. Unanimously. Nowadays, this court, over and over and over again, is proving to be a political body. And the trust, but even before this, has been tanking for this court, including their rulings overturning Roe v. Wade and others. I mean, this court is teetering on illegitimacy. And if they come out of this saying that a president of the United States has immunity, maybe not absolute immunity, but immunity in some of these criminal matters, it's going to tip. And it should tip. I mean, we had a court that stood with the law in 1974. In 50 years ago. Was when Nixon resigned after the court, in his last Hail Mary, said, no, you cannot keep the tapes. You have to turn over the tapes. 50 years ago. And now look at where we are. People like Clarence Thomas, who is being bought off with gifts every single day. Samuel Alito the same way. There is not a position in the United States of America where there should be no rules. And Donald Trump wants the president of the United States to have no rules. I was so disturbed, because I didn't push on Pat, because Pat seemed to think, yeah, and again, I'm not saying that Pat is going to be wrong. Maybe he'll be right ultimately. But he seemed to think, there's no leg to stand on here for Trump and his lawyers. But unfortunately, based on all the reporting and what we heard in some of the audio excerpts yesterday, that the Republican majority, the conservative majority of this court, three of which were put on that court by Donald J. Trump, is taking this seriously. And again, I'd say seriously, yes, every case should be taken seriously, but the argument, some of which is, they should say, get out of here. This is ridiculous. But yet, we have a court that is saying, well, maybe Trump and his lawyers are right. Maybe they should be immune from criminal prosecution for criminal acts done in the office of the presidency of the United States. We're going to turn the Oval Office into the seat of criminal activity. And that's what Justice Jackson basically said yesterday. In questioning the former president's lawyer about why presidents should not face criminal liability for unlawful acts that they take in office, Justice Jackson seemed to warn that as she sees it, giving presidents absolute immunity could turn the White House into the seat of criminal activity in this country. And she's exactly right. In response, Trump's lawyer insisted that while presidents shouldn't face criminal prosecution, they could face impeachment. Well, impeachment obviously has become toothless after what we saw with Donald Trump in his first term, right? So Trump's lawyers during impeachment said that he shouldn't be impeached because he was subject to criminal prosecution if his actions warranted it. And now they are saying they shouldn't be criminally prosecuted because they could face impeachment. They literally want it both ways. They want it all ways. They don't want to be able to have anything. Donald Trump can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants to as president, with no consequences. And if the Supreme Court allows this, it is illegitimate. Bottom line. We'll see what happens, but yesterday was not encouraging, to say the least. The time is 9:18, overcast skies in downtown Wausau, temperature of 46 degrees. Again, coming up at some point in this hour, we'll give you another opportunity to win a prize package from the Chula Vista Resort, including an overnight stay in a vacation villa studio, water park passes for four, and a dining voucher as well. So keep on listening. Make sure you have that phone number close by as well. And we will be back with Paul Mickley coming up next. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXEO and on the Civic Media app. And also, again, you can watch us on our Facebook page and our X page, Bull Falls Radio. And hey, you going to take calls today? People want to talk to Paul Mickley? We're going to let him talk to Paul Mickley?
I don't know what we... There's nothing going on, is there?
I know, there's nothing going on.
It's a quiet day,
but
right?
But if you do want to join us, I'm going to say that. If you want to join our discussion, me and Paul here, 715-382-9297. Again, that's 715-382-9297. You can also text us as well. So,
and what you can call on in and say how I'm going to be right about 4-1?
Well, it looks bleak after the second game because they had no answers at all, the Bucks and Indiana. You know,
Indiana shot the ball
they
well.
Did, I mean, they did.
And they shoot the ball
that's
well.
That's exactly right. And boy, once they got the confidence going, that's it. You couldn't let them get going once they got going. And the Bucks again, are just the injuries and they're old. I have this sense, and again, beyond this series and beyond this team, it feels like there's a precipice coming sooner rather than later because they've kind of bought all in, keeping Giannis happy, making all these trades way over the cap. They're limited in what they're able to do. And right now they're just kind of spinning their wheels. And it's not as though you can expect you know, some new blood coming in to help them out, because they're kind of, they're stuck, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you on that. I mean, but I, unfortunately, we're not going to see the, I mean, the NBA is crazy. I mean, it's tough to beat anybody, but when you have your whole team based around an MVP, I mean, and he's not there.
2 years in a row now.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if we're actually getting a look. That's why people understand.
You're right.
I'm saying, but general, what they don't understand is, you know how difficult it is to win.
Yes, I mean,
you have to have perfect.
That's, I mean, whether it's NBA or, because of like the pack, you know, it's like we talked about over the years. Oh, they should have won more Super Bowls. Well, there's 32 teams.
They're saying the same thing.
I know. It's like, it's really hard. I mean, obviously but the NBA especially, it feels like there is a parity in the NBA that right now, which is really, I think, kind of unusual. Because you look at the West, I mean, there were like 10 teams that were really, I mean, Golden State was like
they
ninth,
make it to the
right,
top, yeah.
And they, you know, and in the East, you had all these teams within one game from number three to, or number two to number eight or whatever it was. So yeah, I mean. And you're right. I mean, but that's also one point last year where they decided to cut loose Budenholzer. They didn't have their team in the playoffs. So I'm going to go back to that.
I mean, looking at it now, I mean, from here, you know, it's all a mute point. All of it is, because they're going to be exactly the same place. Giannis got hurt last year, which hurt that thing.
Yeah.
Butler got hurt. I mean, but they beat them. They beat the Celtics.
That was amazing that they beat the Celtics without Butler.
Beyond amazing.
I know, huh? By 10 in Boston.
I'd
still be surprised if Miami takes it to 6 or 7 games, to be honest with you, because I do think Boston.
No.
But the fact that in any given night that they could do that in Boston, where it felt like that was a sweep that was waiting to happen. I mean, it shows like, yeah, you're right.
Should have been.
You're right. But for...
Milton might be off tonight.
They have no chance.
Right. Why are we talking like we have a chance? Even
because,
I listen to this stuff.
Because in sports, you have to believe for your team. I mean,
no, I know, I understand that. I mean, totally. And it's money and things. You know, you got to want people to watch the game. But when these people are telling, like, you know, the Bucks got to do this and that, they have the MVP or one of the top three in the world on the bench. They're not going to. I mean, defensively, they missed him because whatchamacallit went off, and he would have matched up well with them. And then take away the offense. They're not. That team wasn't built. They're built a certain way, and if you don't have the key cog in it, I don't know how you're going to win in the 7-game series.
Yeah,
and the
Bucks right now are built. They have to outscore a team, and Indiana maybe is the wrong team to do that against, because during the season, Indiana has some of these crazy games. I don't know if you noticed some of the, where they would be 150 points. I mean, it was crazy. I think for the Bucks, that's really not the kind of team that you want to play, because right now the Bucks, without Giannis, they don't have a stopper. The only way they're going to win is to have Lillard score 60 points in a game and outscore your opponents. And right now, this is maybe, I thought when it first happened, oh, this thing is better than Philly. Well, maybe in retrospect, this is not the best matchup in terms of what the Bucks can do right now, because they're not going to be a stopper team, no matter how much Doc wants to do it. And I give him credit for trying to get the defense better, but unless you have all your cogs, it's against...
I thought they did a pretty good job defense, even the second game. I know the points were higher. But it wasn't.
Frankly, when you look back at game one, it's a miracle that they were able to hold them to that, to 90-some points. I mean, that Indiana team can really fill it up.
Yeah, top team in the NBA with scoring, or one of the top
three. Which is interesting, because you think of Rick Carlisle. He's been around for a long time. He's really adjusted himself. I mean, he's shown that he can, because back in the day, his first tenure with Indiana, then when he went to Dallas, it was a very different kind of team, and now he's kind of embraced it.
I'm not a fan of Indiana, so they're gonna be out in the second round too, so so they don't need to get too excited themselves.
Oh.
That's just my opinion. I mean, and again, some of the stuff is
well,
is
as a number six seed, they shouldn't get out of the first round, but that's a whole different conversation. So saying they're gonna be out in the second round is not stepping out on a ledge, is what I'm saying.
Well, I never said they were. I said they were going to beat the Bucks 4-1, and I'm going to be right. And I'm going to be right.
We'll see about that. We'll
you think they're? That. You think they can win without Giannis?
I'm not in the prognostication business. Here.
I see that with your picks that you do.
That's why I'm not in the prognostication business.
I mean, but the, some of this stuff is just common sense. I feel honestly, it's just realistic.
You look
realistic.
Yeah,
I should say.
You lose the best player, and then you lose your third best player. It's the math. You know, people don't like to look at the math. Well, the math says it's going to be very, very difficult.
There's a reason why they get paid a lot of money and the guys on the bench don't.
Right. I mean, the Bucks, the whole design of this team was the big three. And that's why the NBA is now.
Yes.
They talk about the big three. If you don't have one of the big three, then it becomes really hard. If you don't have two of the big three. And Middleton, he really looks good at times, and then he does. I mean, he's fading a little bit right now. And
a bit?
I'm being nice. He's been a great servant for Milwaukee, so I'm going to be nice about it.
I will say that I think if things would have worked out, they would have been okay. I'm not saying they would have won it. I'm saying they would have been okay.
Right.
I mean, if they were healthy and they would have been able to work together a little bit.
He's only missed like five games, but you almost forget again what Giannis means.
Well, Middleton's missed games and things like that. And they're 1-1. I mean, I'm not saying – my point being is going on the road in the playoffs – is going to be difficult to win without your best player.
Is tonight a must? I know you don't think they're going to win, but for the Bucks, let's.
I'll be honest with you. I thought he was going to play tonight. I thought he was going to play tonight.
Now we don't.
It's doubtful,
right?
So that means he's not playing.
Yeah. So. All right.
On that cheery news.
Maybe he'll pull a Willis Reed and limp out there and score 45 points and meet the Bucks back.
Well, you fit in with the rest of the team then.
There you go. Bring out the walker. 9:29, we'll have more with Paul Mickling coming up after an information update. Also, we're going to give you a chance to win that Chula Vista prize package still to come here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. We'll get back with Paul Mickling in just a moment, but it is time. And do not put your phone away. You can't be calling in right now. That's not right.
I had my wife call.
We're going to have a chance again for you to win a overnight stay at the Chula Vista Resort, a one-night stay in a vacation villa studio, water park passes for four, a $25 dining voucher at the Chula Vista as well. And again, Ian, what number should we take this time?
I think we should try caller number 6.
All right.
Caller number 6.
We're going to make you work, folks. Caller number 6, 715-382-9297. 715-382-9297. Call right now. Ian will pick up the phone, take your information, and somebody will get an overnight stay at the Chula Vista Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. Again, 715-382-9297. Caller number 6 will win from the Chula Vista Resort and Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Night one of the draft last night, the Packers went with the offensive lineman. And I chuckled because everything I was reading, they're going to take this kid from Iowa. It was almost like it was the done deal. They're going to take this kid from Iowa. Then he was still there, and the Packers went with the offensive lineman. I think the one thing I'll say is Gutekunst is, I think, earned the trust after his draft performance. But generally, your thought on the Packers going up front?
Well, you know, if you go on social media, it must have been the worst pick in the history of mankind again.
And the thing about it, real fast, all these draft picks, you hear of a few of the guys. Most of the guys, nobody is. I mean, how many Packer fans were watching those Arizona games? So the people who are complaining are idiots. I'm going to say it right out front. If you were out there on your social media last night ridiculing this pick, you are an idiot. And please keep listening as well.
All right. I like that. That's, I guess, call it how it is. It just, you can't get bigs. There, you can't have enough bigs. Both on the offense and defensive line. And so they want to make sure that they have that obviously taken care of. And that's, like you said, he obviously knows what he's doing. They know what they're doing. Do they make mistakes? You betcha they do. But on the flip side, you know, I think he's hit enough where he's earned the right to, you know, we trust what he's doing and see how it is. Is he going to start this year for us? I don't think so. But then that's probably what the problem is sometimes. Is we think that those gotta be starters right away.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they are. I'm not saying.
Well, and it also depends on what level the first round. Again, this is still a 25th pick. So it's not a top 10 pick. So I think that and a team like the Packers, and I think the good football teams have that I would call it an advantage to work guys in.
Yeah.
As opposed to where you're a terrible team. Okay, you come in here and you be our savior right now.
Yep.
I was talking about the Chicago Bears, of course. But I mean, and again, I think that Gutta Kunst, you said so there's hits and misses, but boy, he has hit a lot more than I think the average GM has. So, and the Packers have always been, I think they've had a structure since Wolf has been there, and Wolf was a guy that was a scout who began it. I think they've kept that structure, and the scouting has always been very solid for Green Bay.
Correct. And I got a question way off topic. Why would they take their whole time when they knew they were taking Caleb? Why is it, you I can't know. Tell me this whole thing is not about putting on a show. And again, it was a great show.
No, I think that was it. I think it was all about. So I think, and again, they wanted people to talk about them. I think the Bears wanted people to talk about them. And I don't think there. I mean, you know it. I mean, it's showmanship. And then we have
after they make the pick, like it's a shock, and then they're all hugging in the war room, the Bears. You know what I'm saying?
Those cameras in the war room are just silly.
They're hugging like they're silly. They knew that they were going to have them for how long?
Wow. What a shocker. You're still on the board.
It's kind of, if you can't tell me, it's about the mic. But that, besides that, I trust what the Packers are doing in that war room, and I trust what they're doing.
I do hope the Bears have some money left over from that $4 billion stadium they want to build. So
to pay the guy, and you know, and again, I'm not saying that it's not. My point being is that this has become a show, a great one, and it's a moneymaker, and people are coming. You see how many people were there in Detroit? I mean, it was amazing, the whole thing. My point being is a lot of this stuff you won't know for a couple of years, and by that time, guess what? They're on to the next thing.
Exactly. Who's going to end up? I love these mock drafts. You'll never think or hear about them ever again now. The run-up.
Yep. You know, and they're wrong.
I know.
They're
wrong
after the first 10.
It's all about clicks. It's all about real fast. Again, sort of off the Packers topic. How would you like to be Kirk Cousins today?
He wasn't happy. You know, what was his exact quote? I think he said, I was shocked. Or, I guess I would be shocked too.
It's sort of the equivalent of when the Pack picked Jordan Love, in a sense.
But this is even worse.
They just brought him in weeks ago. You know, it's like.
So it's going to be a 1 year?
But he's guaranteed $90 million in this contract, which was crazy in itself. I think this contract was. I mean, number one, yeah, he can be miffed about it, but he still should be on his knees thanking somebody that somebody was stupid enough to give him a 4-year half guaranteed contract coming off of an Achilles tendon injury at his age.
I mean, is that what they're worth? I mean, I have no idea what they I don't know did you watch Bill Belichick dissect the quarterbacks and rip them apart?
I heard a little bit about that, and it's really interesting where normally if you leave a franchise, you're going to be a little, you know, careful in terms of what you say. Basically, he's saying the Patriots screwed up. which was kind of, it was so Bill Belichick. You
it
know?
Was. Like, the whole thing, I sat there and watched it nonstop because it was a funny thing. I mean, it was just like he was, you're right. Usually you don't go on there and they're kind of being nice and looking for the next job maybe or whatever. But Belichick, he just went on there and just ripped them all apart.
And especially your former team right away. It was yes. Like, you know, it's like that was the one that I can almost understand the others, but it's like you're going to go right after New England, right? First chance. Well, if it was me, I probably would have known. I don't know what he said, but he said it in so many words.
It was, and the funny thing is, he's right when he was saying this stuff. I guess while I'm going back to the Atlanta pick is that he's got a lot of holes in that. I mean, that might not be a 1 year. Is that guy going there?
And that's the thing that I thought a real, again, we're talking about Atlanta here, we normally don't do that, but I thought that Atlanta, the whole idea of what the changes they made were about, and everything they said after making the coaching change and bringing in Cousins was about winning now.
Yes,
that they were tired of where they were. That this division is there for the taking, and now they, again, yeah, they had a chance at that pick, a chance to get an impact player.
Yes,
so that again is odd.
I mean that, and because it does matter, because Cousins leaving the Vikings is huge for the Packers. I mean, Cousins is a real good quarterback, but then they signed, they drafted the kid from Michigan,
McCarthy.
Yep. And now they're talking about trade with San Diego for their quarterback. So what are they doing?
I don't know. Because, yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Because they have – I mean, I know that guy they had is probably
– Sam Darnold.
Is the second stringer. I mean, most likely anyways. But now you're saying is he'd be your third string, right?
I think probably – they'd probably move on.
From him?
Because, I mean, Darnold, I think Darnold really feels like he should be playing right now. He probably asked, hey, I'm not here to be third string.
So if they get the whatchamacallit from San Diego, you think
really,
they'll ask him?
The Chargers are looking to trade him. I missed that, I guess. I wasn't taken.
Again, that's what they said last night. I don't know. It was late. It was late last night, and they were saying that they're talking about
really?
It.
Really?
And I know, who knows? Maybe was it before they drafted that JJ? You know what I'm saying?
Well, the whole, again, the Michigan connection with Harbaugh. I guess that.
I don't know if JJ was in there. I don't know if he was in there to go there. I don't know. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
I mean, it's just crazy to think of how obviously they make a lot of money to do their job, and most of the time if they don't do their job they get fired. That's how this goes. But,
right.
They're not giving up on their team, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
I guess the bottom line for the finish off the draft talk is for the Packers, they were able to get somebody that I think fills a need and hopefully at a very talented level. And then you see some of these other guys basically that do make questionable moves and stacking up one area. You almost see why some guys fail.
Yep.
I mean, if Atlanta doesn't perform to the level that they do this year, you can say, hey, your building of the franchise for this year was not good.
Yep.
And even, you know, for some of these other teams. So the Packers have been very fortunate, not only with their quarterback play for a long time, but with their front office play as well. I think that's one reason they've been a consistently winning program since 1992.
And it's helped. The bottom line is, like him or not, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love.
I know.
And somebody's got to get him.
Exactly.
All three of those guys.
Nobody, I don't think anybody else was going to give up a number one for Brett Favre, who was the third string quarterback in Atlanta in 1992.
And that's how Ron Wolf made his career.
Exactly.
Ted Thompson made with Aaron Rodgers.
And a lot of people would not have drafted Aaron Rodgers. You're exactly right.
I mean, that's how, so they can do it. You have to make that one. And sometimes I think that maybe that's what they're looking
maybe
for.
Maybe Michael Penix will be the next Aaron Rodgers.
And then, do you know that GM's name?
Terry Fontenot. I happen to have it right in front of me.
And again, you know what?
Because
everybody's going to know Terry Fontenot if this guy turns into a...
into Ron Wolf.
Yes. Because everybody knows Ron Wolf. You know what I'm saying? Like, how you make your name is that one splash one, and then you have a little room for error to build around.
Absolutely. And I guess in the final few minutes, again, the Brewers, 5-2 road trip against divisional opponents. How are they doing it? I have no idea who these guys are.
You know, honestly, because they had a guy hurt in warmups. It reminds me of Major League. Honestly, the major league, you know, where Harris gets hit in the head in the back there when you after taking Jabu's you know what I'm saying? Like, yes. And then how they're talking about, like, who are these guys? You know, they go around, who are these guys? Who are these guys? And who are these guys? Their pitching staff is a bunch of who are these guys right now, and yeah. I don't see it getting better on that, and I don't know if that's sustainable. Again, this is a conversation we said for – I'm hoping that we're saying this in 2 months, because then you know you're in good shape.
If this group makes the playoffs, it will be – you may as well give Murphy the 5-year extension, because he'll be turning water into wine.
you don't have pitching.
But it's 162 games, and I said it to you off the air that right now the Brewers have their starting pitchers have fewer innings than any in the majors. And I said, that's not sustainable. You got to get some guys to stretch out a little bit. But there's nobody there that's going to stretch out.
Well, we had Wilson start 2 games already. So does he count as a reliever or a starter? I guess he's because he started the game.
Yeah.
But they're changing the whole. I mean, and the way it looks, Wilson's going to have to stay in there. Yeah. Now in that rotation, I mean, it's crazy to think, and they are missing Yelich in that lineup.
Yes, they are.
I mean, that's a fact. Yeah. I mean, there is a reason why he's one of the best, and he can put the ball in play. He comes up with clutch hits. He'll hit that home run here and there in key spots and get you off to a start. So that they're missing that spot. He'll do the little things for you. And
Gary Gary Sanchez is turning into a great pickup, at least early.
They're refining the fountain of youth.
I guess so. That guy's been bouncing around for a long time, and now it's like, oh, hey, you bring him off the bench, and he's going deep, and I mean, wow.
They got a lot of all-stars, but they just haven't been not recently.
That's right.
I mean, Sanchez is really – I mean, he did – done good things before.
No, he was thought of as one of the top catchers in the bigs, and then all of a sudden, it's like he went from like a 270 hitter to like 140 in 1 year, and then all of a sudden, I think he got into his head a little bit, and he's been bouncing around a bit, so –
So it'll be interesting to see. After a week from now, after the Bucks are done, this all yeah, we have, Chad.
Because we won't have the draft to talk about anymore. Than the
we'll be done.
We'll be scrambling here. But enjoy the weekend. Stay dry. And we'll talk to you next week.
Have a great weekend, Chad. And then we'll look forward to next week.
There you go. Paul Mickley joins us here on Fridays. We'll come back, wrap it up, see if Ian can set a record this week. A chance for a record-setting week. We'll see if it happens. So. Yeah, that's coming up next here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
And we're from the Wausau Business Show, which airs this Saturday again. They're letting us back on the air.
I can't believe it.
We'll see you Saturday morning, 8 to 9 on Bull Falls Radio, where we'll talk to the president of Wausau Tile, Jim Waldron, will join us. And Red Lobster news, Paul. What are we doing?
We're going to be taking a lobster bus to the nearest Red Lobster. 60 of us.
More information on wausaubusiness.com if you want to register for that bus tour, the lobster bus. Come join us. We're going to Red Lobster. Yeah!
Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXEO. And on the Civic Media app. And you just heard a promo for the Wausau Business Show. Make sure you tune in tomorrow morning from 8 until 9 a.m. I don't know about this Red Lobster stuff they keep talking about. I'm not a seafood guy, so I guess it doesn't really matter to me. So,
no, I'm not a huge seafood person.
So you won't go on the bus? Go to Eau Claire on the bus?
No, probably not.
But find out more on the Wausau Business Show tomorrow.
Maybe they're going to Applebee's.
Maybe. Yeah, if they were going to Chip's Hamburgers, I'd go then.
Oh, definitely.
But that's the Wausau Business Show tomorrow morning from 8 until 9 a.m. right here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And again, you can also hear it as a podcast if you miss it on bullfallsradio.com. Click on shows and then find the big Wausau Business Show. And you can also listen wherever you get your podcasts. Today, it is the 26th day of April of 2024. That means it's day number 117 of this year. That means there are 249 days remaining in 2024. And looking at some of the famous events that occurred on this date in history, 1865, Union cavalry troopers cornered and shot dead John Wilkes Booth, President Lincoln's assassin in Virginia. On this date in 1964, the Boston Celtics wrapped up an unprecedented sixth consecutive NBA championship. The Celtics still had two more crowns to win before a string would come to an end. On this date in 1993, Conan O'Brien was named to succeed David Letterman as host of NBC's late night program. On this date in 1996, a four-day New York auction of possessions of Jackie Kennedy Onassis brought in $34.5 million. On this date in 2018, Bill Cosby was found guilty of sexual assault in Pennsylvania. And on this date in 2021, Kanye West Nike Air Yeezy One prototype trainers sold for a record $1.8 million in a private sale. Some famous people who are celebrating their birthdays today. Carol Burnett, legendary performer. Carol Burnett, 91 years old today. Jet Li is 61. Kevin James, the star of The King of Queens, is 59. Wrestler Kane. Are you a wrestling fan? Do you watch wrestling?
A little bit.
Do you know who this Kane is?
I do know who Kane is.
Is Kane a popular guy or a mean guy?
He is. He's very brutal, too.
But Kane is 57 years old today. Former First Lady Melania Trump is 54. Actor Tom Welling, star of Smallville, played Clark Kent, 47 years old today. Also celebrating a birthday today, Jason Earls of Hannah Montana and Kickin' It is 47 years old today. Mm-hmm. Pablo Schreiber of Orange is the New Black and Weeds is 46 years old today. Jordana Brewster, actress, is 44. Channing Tatum. Women loved him in Magic Mike. Also in The Lost City and other films, Channing Tatum is 44 years old today. And Emily Wickersham of NCIS is 40 years old today. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Special events being acknowledged, it's Alien Day. So Elf, it's Elf's Day. Alien. Did you ever watch Elf? Is that before your time? Remember, it's a TV sitcom with this puppet named Elf.
Yes, I remember Elf.
I loved Elf. It was on when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. I thought Elf was the best. Elf, but it is Alien Day. It is also Audubon Day. It is Get Organized Day. It is Hug a Friend Day. That's a good one. It is Hug an Australian Day. So if you know an Australian, give them a hug. It is International Chernobyl Disaster Remembrance Day. It is Help a Horse Day.
Help a horse.
Help a horse day. It is Pretzel Day. It is Static Cling Day. It is Richter Scale Day. It is Kids and Pets Day. It is Child Care Professionals Day. So those are all the special events being acknowledged here on this Friday.
Yes.
All right. It is time.
Okay.
The red hot Ian Welsh. Three out of four this week. Mm-hmm. A chance to do something he's never done before. Get four out of five during a week on our number of the day quiz.
Let's do this.
So this is a big opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Our number for the day today is the number of people the average American farmer feeds each year.
Okay.
So the average American farmer feeds what number of people each year?
Okay.
Is the correct answer A, 155, B, 355, C, 555? So the number of people the average American farmer feeds every year, 155, 355, or 555.
I feel like I should know this because I've seen this answer somewhere before, but I have to hope this is the right answer. I mean, don't overthink it. Don't overthink
you
it.
You say that every day.
Yes, I got to make sure. I'm going to go B. I'm going to go 355, final answer.
All right. The number of people the average American farmer feeds each year is 155.
Oh, it was the smallest number.
The smallest number. It mixes up. It's not always in the middle.
It does. It always changes.
But the good news is it was still a week where you tied your best week. You were way above what the average should be. The average should be 33%. You were 60%.
Absolutely.
But you ended your streak as well of Friday wins. You'd won Friday last 2 weeks after missing the rest of the week. So still a good week. A good week.
Oh, yes, a good week.
And we'll try to break that record next week.
Yep. Come back next week, do it all over.
There you go. Have a good weekend.
You too, Chad. Have a good weekend, everybody. Happy Friday.
Stick around. Coming up, we will have Matt and Air on air. And have a great weekend. We'll be back Monday morning, scheduled to have the mayor of Wausau, Doug Denny on, coming up on Monday. So join us then. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.